morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday sunrise call, where it's always a safe space filled with love and compassion and our mutual desire to heal, starting with ourselves and then our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This morning, we have Dr. Linda McGee, our resident expert, we like to call her, and dear friend to me personally and also to the Sunrise Project Village. Dr. McGee has been here since the very beginning. 4 years ago this month, we started on this journey to healing. And Dr. McGee and I met, gosh, 21 years ago when Kyle was born.
You are kidding.
21 years ago, I walked
it's
into
been that long.
It was a sister mom's meeting. He was 2 months old or 3 months old. And I walked into a sister mom's meeting with you and Linda Burke and Dr. Cheryl Edmonds and so many amazing people. But we've known each other since then. And Dr. McGee has helped me and helped us on this village call many, many, many times. Let me share a little bit about who she is for anyone who has not met her before, or if this is your first call. Dr. Linda McGee is a clinical psychologist, attorney, and nationally recognized mental health expert and speaker. She has been featured in the Washington Post, Forbes, New York Times, Huffington Post, Grown and Flown, and more and more. She has recently appeared on BET's America in Black special, focused on the state of mental health in the Black community. Dr. McGee is an author, lecturer, and former faculty member at prestigious institutions like the Washington School of Psychiatry and George Washington University. She's a compassionate leader. She bridges differences and fosters healthy conversations and discussions on sensitive issues. And she is a valued consultant and friend, as I have said, to the Sunrise Project and to me personally. So this morning, many people have shared that they love it when Dr. McGee is here to answer questions, to be a sounding board, to basically be what she is. Like, she is a therapist, and this is a support group. It's a support group of people all with different types of challenges. And this morning, we are having an open session, and we will be doing this once a month or so with Dr. McGee. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Dr. McGee. And if you'd like to come off mute, you can hit *6 if you're on your phone. If you would prefer to come on camera, you are more than welcome to do that. But again, this is a safe space, so do what feels good for you and what feels right for you. Dr. McGee, thank you for being here again. So honored to have you, as always.
Thank you, Kelly. I am appreciative of being here today. And I just wanted to start off by asking you, Kelly, checking in with you and everyone on the call to see how you're doing. A couple of people have said to me that January was like 5 months long. And, you know, that's typically the time when people have issues with their mood because they, you know, the days are short and the nights are long. It gets dark early. And, you know, we're dealing with a lot in this country right now. We're fighting, particularly people of color are fighting to retain rights. And we're fighting to raise our kids. So I want to stay on topic of parenting. And Kelly, what's been bubbling up for me, because normally what I talk about on here is what's happening for me. So I call it ripped from the headlines.
Yes.
Right?
Please share what's happening with you.
Let me tell you what's ripped out from the headlines is the increasing message that I'm being sent that I got to write about and speak more about parenting and healing. And what are the signs that parents are under trauma and they're fighting the trauma in order to be better parents? And, you know, so some of the things that I see, Kelly, are, you know, a lot of just denial. There is no problem. There is no problem. There is no depression. There was no depression in when we were growing up. There were no gay people when we were growing up. There were no pronouns when we were growing up. So just basically, denial, and a part of that denial is a minimalization. All black boys have that, or all girls go through that. So just ways that we minimize, because that's our own trauma coming through.
Absolutely.
So I want to just give people space to talk about what's happening and checking in, either via chat or clicking on from the camera, putting your camera on, or just putting your voice on. You don't have to give names, just talk. What is on your mind today, and how are y'all doing?
I'll share. Well, people may get ready to share. I'll say when you asked this question earlier, and you mentioned January. Gosh, January was such a rough month for me. And I think maybe not rough, that's the wrong word. Words have power. It was a
Words have
jam-packed
power,
month.
and it's okay if it was rough, Kelly.
Yeah, it was up and down, right? It was mixed, I guess. It was mixed. So on the good days, I was peaceful, I was calm, was loving, compassionate, And some of those bad days, emotional, judgmental, felt out of control. And so the good thing is, thanks to this village here and people like you, Dr. McGee, I have more days of being in control and being peaceful.
Well,
And
too, I think we let things build up, Kelly. And when you let things build up, it comes popping over the top.
right.
Right on those days
Like
when
a
that last,
pressure
so
cooker.
it's not that last person who whatever they said to you. It's the whole month that is accumulated. And I can just speak for myself and speak and put me on the spot instead of you on the spot by saying that, I tend to not be as direct sometimes. And that's a habit that has taken me decades to break. And so when I'm not direct, I let that stuff build in. And then when your child comes in and he didn't fill up your gas tank and it's on empty when you're trying to get to Pilates, then you would just explode. Okay.
Absolutely. To that point, yes. And I see some hands up. So let's make
Okay.
sure we the first
Okay,
person
so
has
let's,
initial BA.
yeah,
Would like to
BA,
say
let's,
something.
your hand was up first. What's on your mind?
I think that's me.
Yes.
I have a daughter who has a mood disorder, possible early onset bipolar, not sure. But she has a lot of outbursts, a lot of anger, yelling, screaming, crying. I've been working for a long time to manage my feelings and reactions to this to be able to support her. Now, in December, my brother passed away unexpectedly. He was only 43, and it was out of the blue. And that was, very difficult emotionally. And then coming back to be a support for her has been a real struggle. And then there's this question that I have in my head that I've always had in my head, through this entire process. It started when she was three. I started seeing signs when she was three. She's nine now. Where am I supposed to be as a support to her? Because sometimes the behaviors feel abusive towards me. And my natural reaction to abusive behavior is to not to separate myself. But then as her mother, I need to be a support to her so that she works through whatever it is that she's going. And so back to January, I go up and down with where I am on my ability to cope with this. And it's low right now. And I've really struggled on the empathy part of it and being there as a support for her. But I don't even know when someone is behaving that way, regardless of the reason behind it. What message does it am I sending when I'm always there? And what message am I sending when I'm not there? And where's that balance? So I'm stuck on that. And it's just been, it makes everything kind of just the day to just a blur going by, just kind of
Right.
going by. And then I have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old as well.
Oh
And
my
the first
goodness.
them, it's like it's a
Well,
beast. What?
I hear the pain, I hear the exhaustion in your voice, and I just want to honor that it is such a labor to do the things that you're trying to do right now, particularly with three pretty young children. And as Kelly wrote in the chat, I first of all just want to reach out and offer you my condolences about your brother, because throughout all of this, you're in a grieving process in addition to everything else. And so to talk a little bit about the behaviors. When children that young have problems expressing themselves, expressing their emotions, they might have relational difficulties with their classmates and at school and with you at home. A lot of times they show that frustration and those feelings through action and words. And a lot of times those words and actions are not conceived well. And then it's because a lot of times they don't have the emotions, they don't have the words to express themselves, and they see that they are set apart in many ways from other children. And you're talking about an early diagnosis, that's a pretty significantly early diagnosis of bipolar, but it might just really, really reflect her frustration with the world. So turning back to you, what do you do, right? I would say that first of all, your safety comes first, right? You are a human being, you're her mother, but you're also a human being, and your safety and your person is important, a separate and apart from your being her mother. So safety is first. If you feel like you're in an unsafe situation, go put yourself in a room. If you feel by yourself, or have her, if you can, be in a room by herself for a while, to sort of separate. But some other things are is to how you start to think about this behavior. So when someone is saying to you, "Mom, you're this, you're that. I can't stand you. I hate you." Of course, you take it to heart. It's like a dagger in most mothers' hearts, right? But it's really an expression of her frustration. It's really an expression of her, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be hurt by it, but it's oftentimes really not directed at you. It's their world's frustration aimed at you at a particular time. So, if you could start to think about it, it's just like when other people that have been on this line too talk about their kids and substances. It's the substance talking, it's the disorder talking. It's not so much her, right? And even though it's directed at you, it's not so much she's saying, "I can't stand my mother." Because in fact, for those of you on the line who have kids with difficult emotions, they are clinging to you. And Kelly can talk a little bit about that too. It's like when you try to withhold and when you try to separate yourselves, they're the child out of all your children that's chasing you the hardest. Okay. So, but I want to just go back to one point so that we can, so I can like clarify what I'm saying. I think that there are times when you do need to protect your feelings. Like right now, it sounds like you're at a low point. So be a little bit extra gentle and compassionate with yourself, and maybe weigh a little bit on your self-care, right? And that's what a lot of therapists won't tell you, right? But there are times when you have to lean a little bit her way when she's feeling particularly low or struggling. And it's not, there's no rule book for this, Miss Bree. And it's only figuring out like days that, okay, I know that I am supposed to, be dealing with this girl, but I just really just need to go take a bath. But figuring out what is the best way to deflect her feelings, figuring out what works sometimes in terms of distracting her, figuring out what works to bring her down from her meltdown. And a lot of times working with her therapist or working with your own therapist can help you to sort of like be able to manage her emotions a little bit better while you're helping her manage her emotions. But my overall picture is that it's a balance. Sometimes you have to lean a little bit her way. Sometimes you got to lean a little bit your way and take the week to just be able to breathe. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And that's very helpful hearing that, because I struggle with that part, the guilt of when I am kind of catering to myself, like I need a break from this. I feel so much guilt. And then that's where that question mark comes from. And, and the words, I do agree with you on the words. The words don't get to me. My trigger is the physical. And she
Yes.
likes to come and break my things and throw things in anger. And that part is what feels really abusive to me. And that's the part that's my trigger. That's like when I'm like, okay, I can't take this right now. But hearing that reminder that it is a balance and that it is okay to take that time for me and that is not selfish or hurtful towards her. That's the part that I really struggle with. Like, where am I supposed to be in that
Right.
spectrum?
And
So that
like I
that's very
said,
helpful.
please work with, someone that can help you with parent guidance because, when I work with parents or kids who are destructive, I work with them depending on the situation on not replacing items that they destroy of their own, right?
Right.
And there are just ways to work with it. I've had kids come in my office and be destructive and, had some laid down some boundaries and rules for them. That if they can't not destroy the toys, then they won't be allowed to play with the toys. But I also just want to go back to your brother for 1 second and just say that take the time to grieve and to feel the emotions and to think about him and remember him. And don't block the grieving process because all the experts say that if you do, it just prolongs the grieving process. And it's not just that your brother died, within a couple of months. It's, that it comes up for weeks and years and months after. So allow yourself to grieve.
And thank you. I also needed that reminder because that is another thing that I have struggled with, feeling like the thought of it's been long enough, why aren't you okay? And I have a therapist and a
Good.
parenting therapist, and my daughter has a therapist and psychologist, and we're working. We have the support. We're
Good.
6 years in. And this group, I've had this group bookmarked for a long time. And it's only my second time coming.
Well, I'm so glad you came today because not only is it allowing you to, I hope, get some solace and some love from Kelly and I and the rest of the group, and a safe space to say this is not easy. Right. But also, you're giving someone on this listening line solace and validating their feelings and their emotions and allowing them to maybe not even speak today on this line, but to speak to someone this week about the pain and the suffering and the sheer difficulty of raising someone who is struggling with mental health.
And we've all been there. That's what I
Yeah.
want to share. We've all been exactly there. And it has taken, for me, speaking for myself, it's 4 years. We've been here for 4 years, still working through it and still really good days and then really challenging days. And that's okay. The other thing I just wanted to share before we go to the next person who has their hand up is it has helped me, not only this group, but having a therapist and also. I take a medication for it's low dosage for depression. It really helps.
Thank you, Kelly,
And
for bringing that up. Right. Please, for those of you who are listening, if you are struggling, get your own therapist, even if you could just go telehealth. But also consider low dosage or a dose
right.
of antidepressants or
Makes
anti-anxiety
a huge
medication.
difference for me. Huge difference.
It's okay to have the year or the 2 years where you're taking antidepressants or longer, and that you're taking antidepressants or anti-anxiety meds to help you manage your emotions while you're trying to manage a child's emotions who either has mental health issues or substance abuse issues.
Right, or both.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you for sharing that. And we are here every Sunday. So really appreciate you sharing
Yes,
your
please come back.
wonderful.
Please come back.
And there was a woman that had her hand up. I'm not sure if you still wanted to share.
Yes, someone else had their hand up.
I think it was initials JT, if you're still here. Okay. Good morning. If you're on the phone, you can hit star six to come off of mute. Or if you've changed your mind, that's fine too.
While we are waiting for someone to unmute themselves, managing grief as a family is hard. One of our commenters says, "When my daughter was younger, I just hugged her, and that was for me and her." Yes, managing the grief process is really tricky because you're trying to manage the loss of your own parent, but you're also trying to help your children mourn the loss of their grandparent. So CG, your hand is up. Come on. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I actually had a question about you were talking about medication for depression. And so we as a family, I got separated and divorced in the past 4 years, and it was a violent situation. So we all have PTSD. And so we've been going to, we have our own therapist. But one thing, and I just want to ask what people feel about this. Our therapists are okay with this, but we've been using cannabis. So, and that actually has been working wonders, especially for my daughter, who is a veteran, and she came out of the Navy. So I'm just wondering, like, what are your thoughts about that?
I am pro whatever helps you that's legal that will help you manage your emotions, your feelings, your post-traumatic stress, your trauma, including cannabis and even some other treatments that might be slightly controversial. And if you are getting it from legal dispensaries and you know the dosage of what you're getting, that too is also, I think, is helpful. Where I think it's difficult is when people are acquiring these cannabis, marijuana, weed from the street, and you don't really know what you're taking or even the dosage of what you're taking. And finally, I'm not anti-cannabis, but sometimes I feel like if it's prolonged and people need to have it daily, every day, sometimes it could take people off task, it can render them less productive. And so just like with any other medication, like opioids and painkillers, you just need to monitor whether or not it has become, from an aid to something that is approaching dependency. Does that make sense, Cordelia? I don't want to judge.
Oh yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah, and usage has gone down, and we do use a dispensary.
Good.
Yeah, so
Yes.
I wanted to bring that into the conversation because I'm not sure if somebody else had that question and didn't want to ask it,
No, I mean, I have colleagues that are not just exploring cannabis, but they're exploring, psychedelics, all kinds of ketamine, all kinds of treatments that help. And I just say it sounds like you were very responsible in how you approached this and how you it seems like you did your due diligence and that you're doing cannabis in a safe and basically prescribed way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, because one of my children was having a reaction to antidepressants, and one wasn't suggested to have it at all.
Right.
So,
I
okay.
mean, antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds have side effects, and they are not for everyone. And even people that don't have side effects, they may or may not help your mood. I deal with a, I used to deal a lot with primarily teenagers between like 16 and 20, 16 and 24 teenagers and young adults. And, they worked in about a half of the cases. Same with adults. So anyway, so I usually medication is just part of the solution. I'm also working on people sleeping, their eating, how they're taking care of themselves, exercising, any way that I can help improve their mood by 20% is what I'm aiming for.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, our main, like my go-to really is using food as medicine, especially, for my little kids. My youngest one was 6 at the time, so like you only can use food. Right.
And can I ask you a question? How did the cannabis help you?
Well, mostly for anti-anxiety. Yeah, it was mostly, and yeah, because for me, I was speeding up a lot. And so just to slow down, because I have a lot of children, I have 6 kids,
My
so
goodness. We have
it just.
the kids this morning, Kelly. God bless y'all. Six children.
Yeah, so
And so
like just.
when you say speed up, what do you mean?
I needed to slow down because I wanted to be present with each one, so, the first person who shared was talking about child throwing stuff. So I had a variety of different things happening. There were people that would break stuff, people that would throw stuff. And, of course, oh, it's just getting better, isn't it? I gotta clean that up.
No worries.
People who, wanted to kill each other.
Right.
I didn't want to react. I wanted to respond and I wanted to be present, And so like just to be in the moment and see this person, each child as, and their personality and be able to decide what to do, and then also dealing with things in the court system and with my ex, and it was a very contentious, divorce and everything. So just not skipping ahead too much.
And skipping ahead and probably sometimes spiraling, with
Mostly
the
that, actually.
a
Mostly.
myriad of, in the court system, I just still do a little bit of work with the court system and teaching forensic in a forensic program and psychology, forensic psychology program. And the courts are not your friends. They, the law is not geared to elevate your mental health or the mental health of your children. Or even, as they say, the law is the best interest of the child, but it doesn't really, it's a very blunt instrument for a very nuanced psychological life of your child, right? And it just doesn't match up well, right? And so you've had, this, significant trauma, and it's on your kids, and it's just like multiplied. It's your trauma, their trauma, their interaction, your interaction with them, and they still, have the presence of their father, whether they're seeing him or not on a day-to-day basis, he's still there as the specter of their father, right? And they have to psychologically deal with that also. So, I'm never gonna say you can't use this or you can't do that. And particularly with people with sort of complicated post-traumatic stress, like you said, you had a daughter who's a veteran. It sounds like there's a complicating traumas there. So no, whatever it takes, that's legal. I don't want anyone to go to jail. And it actually helps, and it is not. Sometimes the medicine is worse than the illness, and we just don't want that. We just want symptom relief. We want you and your children to be able to thrive, to feel like get to even first, so you don't feel like every day is a trauma. But then once you get them to even, you want your children to thrive. You don't want them to just be surviving. So whatever you have to do to put yourself in a position, because you're the hub, right? Without you, the whole tire falls apart. But to put yourself in a position, and I just want to encourage you and reach out to you. First of all, you're gutty for coming on here and talking about it. Again, you're letting some other person talk about it and think about, just real trauma. And second of all, I want to encourage you this year to take care of yourself and to like make it a real task, right? Not just I'm gonna amorphous, I'm gonna take care of myself, but like to like put down two or three goals for yourself this year, that even if it's just water and a walk 3 times a week, and like to really write it down. They say we don't do what we don't track. Right. And that's one of the things that I'm working on with myself. It's like, okay, it's just not, can't just be amorphous. I'm gonna do this, right? But just really be gentle with yourself this year and understand that you've gone through the wringer yourself, right?
Yeah, thank you for that. And I also want to share a celebration. So it hasn't all been gloom and doom. One of my kids actually came out of substance abuse and is like gotten back into, practicing, religion. And so, and that was me hands off. It was just guy just holding space. So
Right. A lot of times it is for the on the individual, even when they're quite young, they decide. And it's the hardest thing for us, and Kelly can attest to this, is and this is from my headlines too, Cordelia, is that I have to deal with a lot of parents of 19, 20, 21-year-old, 22-year-olds, and they just won't stop abusing substances and they won't get on track. And a lot with the parents, even with parents of means, it's I have to tell them that the kid has to, the young adult has to make the decision. And you really can't, because if we could force them and make the result, it would have been done already. Right.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And Miss Kelly can attest to that, but that is, it's so important that you talk about when they do get on track, right? So that you can give hope to people. There are a lot of kids that come back.
That's right.
There are a lot of kids that come back, but they ultimately have to make the decision to come back.
Right.
Yeah.
What I love about what you said was holding space, because that's the key learning, like holding space and allowing them to move through their own journey. That's the biggest thing I've learned. One of the biggest things I've learned here.
And
And I
sometimes,
said that.
Kelly, you have to do that with some boundaries. I mean, I'm sure Kadeem will agree that you
Yeah,
okay, tell me
absolutely.
what you're thinking. Tell me what you were thinking when you put your hand in your hands. I have to know.
Boundaries. It was like I really wanted to manhandle, and just be like, you can't do this, I'm gonna take your phone, and the boundaries were different. It was kind of like, okay, you can do this, but you're gonna have to, text me when you're on your way home, and I mean, there were times when I had to scoop them up from wherever they were, but they texted me, so that's where I'm like, and then just, pulling them out of whatever situation they were in, and hugging them, just like a baby. So it was a lot.
Wow, because basically what you're saying is that you just have to watch them, and try to put some sort of safety measures in place. But it's basically at that point you're praying, right? You're
Yes.
just praying that they come back to you, and you're hugging them even when you want to maybe choke them. And
That's right. You found me out. Oh no, I've
It's
been
so hard. I
exposed.
mean, I'm going so much, and that's what I was talking about, this trauma and rip from the headlines and how this concept keeps visiting me. And I guess God is trying to tell me to write that book
Yes, please.
about how hard it is. It's like we're refueling mid-flight because we're trying to heal ourselves and heal our children at the
That's right.
same time.
Well, I appreciate you sharing. I really do. And what a great thing about your one of your children that has overcome the addiction. That's fantastic. So congratulations on that. I also love the hug comment. I mean, it sounds like I know how the importance of hugging and just saying I love you, period.
Well,
Without
you
strings
know,
attached.
Kelly, hugging, crying, and just praying and going in your room and just like you, because you just don't know what's gonna happen. You know, I get texts from people and I just whoo, the kids are right on the edge, getting ready to fly off the edge. And there's nothing basically you can do. You know,
Absolutely.
but pro, you know, try to be there to be that place where if they want to boomerang back, if they
That's
want to
right.
get help. You know, there's a kid that I text regularly and just tell him I care for him. He's just a boy that I know. And I just tell him, you know, dude, you know, there's n it's never too late. Sometimes, and he's just on my mind in the morning, and I'll just say, you know, people out here still love you.
That's right.
You know, and we should consider doing that for our kids, our relatives' kids. It's just to let them know that. If you do want to come back, I'll help you. If you do want to come back, I will find a treatment place. If you do want a therapist, I'll help you find one.
Right.
So, but thank you so much. And I think we
Absolutely.
have
Give another
NTs.
person as a caller.
Yep.
Hand up. Thank you so much.
Hi, NT. How you doing?
I am doing well. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just have a question. I have a 28, so I'm sorry, 29-year-old daughter who was diagnosed with bipolar and personality, borderline personality disorder. And I also take care of my mom who has Alzheimer's. And which she turned 90 yesterday, so we celebrated that. But I'm just constantly feeling extremely drained, especially from my daughter. I mean, my mom is enough as well, but my daughter seems to compound the issue, and trying to get her to maintain a job and all of that. She will constantly send me texts when things are not going well at work, and I just want to quit. And these long text messages. And that's why, maybe I shouldn't be here, and just commit suicide. And it just, and that's something that's thrown up a lot. And she has been hospitalized before several times, and I'm really just at a standstill of just knowing what to do, because I feel exhausted. I mean, she's been with us since she graduated from college, and she was having
So that's
difficulty
about
maintaining.
7 years now.
Yes, ma'am. And at the time that she came, that was the same time I brought my mom here to take care of her. And I think, Kelly, you may remember me. I also took care of my mother-in-law who was living with us too.
I do remember.
And so she passed away a couple of years ago, but my mom is here, my daughter is here. And I feel like there just haven't been enough space. I just feel like I'm so drained, and she needs to leave. And it seemed like every time there's an opportunity for her to leave, something happens. She sabotages herself, loses her job, or talk about suicide. And then here we are again. And so my husband and I were like, we I gave her a deadline and put her out, and then it's like, well, then I see all this anxiety come, and then this talk of suicide. And so it's like, what do we do? It's just like it's this cycle, and I'm exhausted, mentally, emotionally. She has no friends. She doesn't have a boyfriend. That's what she wants as well. But she literally has no friends, and she smokes marijuana every day. And she just got this new job, a good job. But it's like she's texting me these long texts while I'm working with my clients.
And I'm like, I can't, so I don't have anybody to talk to. I have no vent to. I said, well, I can't be that for you right now. I have things I have to do, and so I'm just at a loss right now. So I'm not sure what you can offer me during this
Well,
time.
I mean, I want to first offer you the fact that there's a reason why you're exhausted. Is that, you're in the sandwich generation generally between in-laws, my parent, and a child who's ailing, right? Any one of those things would have made you feel tired and depleted. But three of them, and working with your husband to mourn the loss of his mother, it is a lot. And it sounds like to me, everything you said to me about your daughter points to cycles, right? She's in cycles. You're in her in a relationship cycle where she's using you as her sole source of support, basically in the world. She is self-sabotaging or acting in a way because likely because of fear of maturing and growing up. And a lot of kids are stuck in that cycle where they come home from college and the world is tough and they're struggling with mental illness, and the propensity is for people to just retreat. It's easier in many instances to just retreat from reality, to retreat from having to go get friends when you're socially anxious. It's easy to stop going to that therapist when the therapist is trying to get you to take steps, and it's continuous. Like myself, I'll be continuously trying to get them out, continuously trying to get them off weed and onto legal meds, continuously trying to keep them in the job that they have and not to keep repeating the cycle with their parents and to become independent. So it becomes a easy retreat. But I think for you is to continue for you to encourage her to get treatment, maybe get somebody that can work with the family as a unit on what is the plan, here is the deal. And to number three is to take ownership of your own life, your own happiness, and your own future. You have the right to live on this planet and exist in a joyful way for the duration of the time that you're here. And it's okay for you to go find some of that joy right now. And again, I'm encouraging you strongly to go work with somebody that can mediate. But a lot of times, because the habits are so entrenched, it's really difficult to get the children to move out. We had somebody on here a few weeks ago said they actually sued their kids. We had someone who told me just recently they moved out of the house themselves. Her and her husband moved out of the house and agreed to pay the mortgage for a year or two. So I mean, you're in a position now where the choices are not going to be easy. I'm not going to lie and say that they're going to be easy. But that you deserve more. And if you push her to get the help that she needs, you're actually helping her, right? By continuing to be there, it always just makes it so that you're a little bit colluding in her situation. And by colluding, I mean that you and her are working together. And you're kind of like acquiescing to where she is and letting the situation sort of evolve. So that's why I'm encouraging you to work with somebody, a strong family therapist who can help you to negotiate with her. So it's not you and her directly. You need a plan. And it'll also work to help keep you mentally well. So I'm going to encourage you to get your therapy in addition to that if you don't already have it. To kind of work on what your needs are, separate and apart from your daughter's.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know that, I mean, she sees a therapist, been seeing, several therapists all throughout this time. And they've given her great tools. She's on medication, but it's like it doesn't,
seemed to really impact her in the way that we had anticipated, right? And we have talked about getting family therapy as well. And we also look at ourselves, like, are we enabling her? And I think one of the things that my husband and I have been concerned about is something that Kelly talks about a lot, trying to have faith over fear, right? Because our thing is, okay, if we put her out, then, what if she does commit suicide? Or what if, so that's always that's really the lingering thing in the back of our heads is that. And I think sometimes I
It's
know
a
my girl,
real fear.
it's
It's
a
a
real
real
fear.
fear, but also she's using it to manipulate.
That's what I was about to say. She tries to manipulate us with that. And I'm really exhausted. And this is supposed to be our time to really enjoy ourselves. And it's been impeding that possibility because of her these cycles.
The
And
comment
it
in the
just
comment in the chat just wanted made me, excuse me for interrupting you, to remind you that this is a slow process. And so like the no sudden moves would be my best advice, but to keep pushing forward into, maybe even more intensive treatment for her, some family therapy, to sort of push this ahead. But we even when we talk about enabling, it usually doesn't work to just cut it off in its entirety, but to kind of push toward this. And like talk to her about keeping a job, like and taking a stance where she is to work on her issues, because there's going to be 50 million jobs if she doesn't,
Well, she's had about 17 since she's been back. And so, and this is a good, a really good job for her. She's not making as much as she would like, but that's the whole thing. And she's trying to go out to California and be an actress. And we tried that before and she came back. And that's when she had the psychotic break at that time. And so, and it's just those continual things that we see. And even though she's like, I hate being here in Virginia and I hate, but it's like, okay, then you can leave. Nothing is keeping you here, right? And so, and she feels that because she's about to turn 30 this month, and then she wasted all of her 20s. That's the way she states it. And most of her 20s were where she was dealing with all her mental health things, being in and out of places. So, and I said, well, there, you can't get those 20s back. You can't, I said, you can't change what happened, but you can live differently. Your 30s can be the best decade of your life, but
Well, and
it just like things.
people feel like that their problems, a lot of people think that they're geographic. And Kelly and I have talked about this also. If I could just, take this flight into fancy and be an award-winning actress, and
Right, that's
all of
her.
these things that are just fanciful. For a lot of people, they become this sort of thing that if I could just do this, then everything would be better, as opposed to like, dealing with the problems and the mental health issues and managing that. And so, like, but the thing is, you're as a parent, you don't want to say you can't do that, but you can say, what you just said is that look. This is a good job for you. It would be great if you could work with your therapist to sort of deal with the day-to-day situations that are popping up that are hurting you. And remember that the issue, the solution is not always going and changing and trap and going to another state. And just reminding her of that without her without being so discouraging that she turns it around that you're trying to hold her back.
Right. I
So,
want to just say, oh, go ahead. I'm just, we have one more person who has their phone
yeah,
up.
we do. I'd like to fit in, Sherry. So, if Sherry, what's your question?
But thank you for sharing. I really
Thank you so
appreciate you.
much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi. So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Just a quick question. So, I have a son who has been diagnosed with ADHD and oppositional defiant disorder. And it has been a struggle with him Just about since he was about 4 or 5 years old, just all of his life in school and behavior. And now he's 16, and he displays sometimes explosive behavior. And he and I both are in therapy. He's been in therapy since he was about 6 years old, and now we're in therapy together. And what I'm learning is how, because when he would display explosive behavior in the past, I would always match that energy because it would, I'm like, I dare you. You will not speak to me that way. You will not behave like that. But what I'm learning in therapy is that is not the most, the healthiest approach. That when he goes up, I need to, stay calm. But how do you continue to do that without feeling like you're being punk in your own home, or that you're allowing this
It's
kid?
because you're stuck with how we grew up, right? And if I use technical terms, it would be like authoritarian parenting,
Yes.
right? We were parented by authoritarians who it was as they said, and no other way. And people come to me every day and they tell me, well, that's how we was raised and we turned out okay. And I'm like, oh, the jury's out, right? On whether or not. But one thing I do know, Sherry, is it doesn't work with these kids or children. The beat down absolutely does not work with them. And I could joke with Kelly every other show that I that should be in a book. The beat down doesn't work with our kids.
No,
It,
or the
no,
punishing, or the
it doesn't
punishing.
work. And it because they just reject it out of hand. And in many ways, we raise them to not take people's word for it. We raise them to speak up. So with your son, I think like a lot of this has to do with you reframing his behavior in your mind. It's not like he's punking you, not like he's always disrespectful, but he's expressing yourself. Now, I'm not saying to you that you can't put a limit on his expression of his emotions, but you know, I also think that if we could think of it in his mind as he's dysregulating, he's having a hard time dealing with his emotions, as opposed to he's being disrespectful and punking me, then I think your life will be easier. Right? You'll still have the problem of like working on helping him get out into a world where that dysregulation is not going to be viewed in the same way or treated in the same way as you view it. And I and then to sort of see if you can see some progression, if the people that you're working with and the methods that you're using are working, right? And one last thing, I just want to encourage you. I mean, it's really tough when a 16-year-old is just not doing what you want them to do, and you see college and high school completion looming and 88. And the thing is that I want you to consider, if you haven't already, don't already have this, working with someone just for the express purpose of working with him, right? In terms of what you can do between now and the 2 years where he's expected to leave your home, but to work on what the time frame and the plan is. And it may not be a 2 year plan. Kelly and I've had that conversation. It may be a 3 year plan. It may be a 4 year plan. And then talk to him about it. Like, what do you want? Well, you know, this is what I see that if you could work, if we could work on this, if you could work with some an outside person on that, then I think maybe you could get there and like kind of try to be encouraging to him because he's scared too. You know?
And I can see that. I can see that he is really scared, and he's an adolescent, he's a boy. He has a hard time at school, he has a hard time with friendships. So I know all of that must be just so stressful for a 16-year-old, and I do take all of that into consideration when he does show that explosive behavior. But it is hard because of the, like you say, because of the way I was raised. I dare not raise my voice at my mom. Never. Do you hear me? And so These children, this generation, they are different. They are different. And so our approach has to be different. So I'm fully aware of that, but I get in my feelings too. And sometimes I just don't know how to respond. I don't know any other way to respond to that.
And in your feelings is where you need to start. First, by being kind to yourself, because to me, it sounds like that you're doing probably better than you think you are, or that you're judging yourself for. But to also understand that it's quite normal that you are frustrated, sometimes pessimistic, sometimes just plain mad, and sometimes hurt with his behaviors. Oh, that's perfectly normal.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. I received, and I heard you say to have someone work with him just primarily on his plan for the next couple of years, or what I hope to be the next 2 years. So, that is a great idea. And we will start to focus on that. We will. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. We really appreciate it. We are out of time. Dr. Linda, do you want to share any last thoughts for this open session?
I always end the session by saying, parents, love yourself. Receive love from us today. Go out into this week being gentler and kinder to yourselves and taking care of yourselves.
Absolutely. I'd like to acknowledge this note in the chat from a woman that says, I have exercised extreme patience to not call the police. I leave the house and it makes me mad that I have to leave my own home, but it works. Yep. And I want to say yes, here to that. Mm-hmm. For several years, I had to do the same thing. I did live in a space of fear, did not want to call the police on Kyle, didn't know where he was, but calming myself down, having faith over fear.
Yep. And Kelly, I want to just mention real quickly is that I think one day we had a show where we talked about the police. I think we do to have another conversation about that because of recent events that I've seen in the news about what the police do sometimes. And we should have another show on that.
100%. And also to that point, there's a survey in the chat. We actually really care about what all of you think and what you would like to see in the future and here. So please, we will have an open. Please click on that if you're on Zoom and able to see it and share your thoughts. It's a little survey link in the chat. It takes 30 seconds or less to complete, and we really want your feedback. So thank you for being here, Dr. Linda. We will do this once a month. The first Sunday of the month, or may move from time to time. That's how life is. But we appreciate all of you being here. I'm going to close us out with a prayer this morning. Thank you, Father, for allowing Dr. Linda McGee to be here this beautiful morning to share so many lessons with us and to listen and to be present for each of us. Help us, Father, have faith over fear. Help us to know that we can choose joy despite the pain, despite the trauma, despite the defiance, despite the uncertainty. Help us, Father, help us to stop fighting. Help us stay calm. Help us leave when we need to leave, even though it's our own home. Help us, Father, love our children and learn to love our children unconditionally, untraditionally, and know that their journey is their journey, not our journey. As we continue to move forward in 2024, dear God, let us leave anger behind. Let us leave frustration and worry behind. Let us continue to be here in love and in this safe space. And please continue to cover and protect all of our children, all of our loved ones, and keep them safe. Here's to a peaceful, powerful, positive, productive, and loving week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here. We will be back next week. We have an incredible woman named Dre Brown, who is a wellness expert, and she will be with us next Sunday at 9 a.m. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thank you for being here.